I'm Paul Wiegraff, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. In the studio with me, we have four guests, actually, representing the Seraphim String Quartet, hence the four. Kate Ransom, Larry Stomberg, Esme Allen Creighton, and Lisa Vaupel. Welcome.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And I did not do that in the order of actually the instruments you play. Both Kate and Lisa are violinists for the quartet. Esme, you are the violist.
That's right.
That is correct. And Larry, the cello.
That's right.
Great. And I got everybody's names right, correct? I hope.
Good. Got it.
Okay, good. We've had you on here in different combinations in the past, but the Seraphim String Quartet always has some exciting news about performances and repertoire that you're doing. So it's great to have you back in the studio. Let's start for our listeners who are a little newer to the show and to the Delaware art scene. A little bit of background about the Seraphim String Quartet. Kate, you're the founder, I believe. So,
well, I'm the remaining founding member, but four of us founded it actually back in 2001. By chance, I was asked to put together a quartet program for the Wilmington Public Library. And so I put together a group, especially around a friend of mine, Tony Simmons, a violist, who I had a great rapport with. And we built a quartet just for that one concert. But we had such a great time, we decided we were going to continue. And so here we are all these 15 years later, and the quartet has had a lot of changes through the 15 years, but we have had a wonderful stability for the last few years with this marvelous combination of my colleagues. It's been a really wonderful experience.
Now, the membership of the quartet has evolved over time. Let's hear a little bit about each of you and your backgrounds and what brought you to this place in your professional career. Kate, we'll start with you as one of the founding members.
Oh, well, that's like really a long story, but in a nutshell, I came to Wilmington in 1999 to accept a position as the director of what was then the Wilmington Music School, which is now the Music School of Delaware. And that's been just a fantastic experience for me and an honor to and a privilege to help that organization move forward. Of course, being a chamber musician since my youth, basically that's the reason I became a violinist, was to play string quartets. I always was looking to play in chamber music combinations, and in that period in my life, I was not looking to play string quartets. I was doing a lot of collaborating with piano and string combinations, working with First and Central and David Shalott, and putting together a lot of programs for him over the early years when I returned to this area from my former position in Florida. But then this opportunity kind of came out of the blue with the Wilmington Public Library asking for a string quartet combination. And with my partner at the time, the violist Tony Simmons, I was really inspired to try to do that again and take it seriously. So we did. We put a quartet together, but our mission was to work really hard. We had a year to prepare the program and to take it really seriously and not just throw it together, which is a lot harder to do with four strings than with a piano and string combination. The piano is kind of like a more automatic glue that helps the group unite together. So we put that together, and then they asked us for a name to publicize the concert, and we didn't have a name. So I took the name from my violin, the maker of my violin, Sanctus Seraphin, S-E-R-A-F-I-N, and that was the first time we played under the name Seraphim Quartet. For me, this is my second venture into serious quartet playing. The Seraphim Quartet's process has evolved to become more and more serious over the 15 years, and more concerted, you know, more time, more attention, more experience, more challenges. It's been a great experience. Originally, though, my first professional activity when I finished formal education was to play string quartets with the Alexander String Quartet, which actually still exists. And I was a founding member of that quartet, and that was also a really wonderful experience.
Larry, I think you're the next senior member of the quartet, right?
That's correct.
And so what brought you here?
Well, I moved to Delaware actually to accept a position at the University of Delaware as the cello professor there, and this was back in 2004. And an interesting thing, I've always been an avid chamber musician, and string quartet was always a dream of mine, but life circumstances and career paths, you know, sometimes changed a little bit, and I was enjoying very much university teaching. I had been teaching already for about 8-9 years at the university level before coming to UD. And then one day in early 2006, so 10 years ago now, I was actually taking out my recycling, and I saw this letter, this envelope that was from Seraphim String Quartet, and it nearly got thrown out in the recycling, and I thought, oh, well, I know who these folks are. And so I opened the letter, and so they were looking for a cellist. So it nearly didn't happen, actually, for me being the Seraphim Quartet, because it would have been in the recycling. But so I responded to the letter and did a reading with the group in March of 2006. And things worked out. We all hit it off, and it's been a really wonderful 10-year ride since. Before being in Delaware, I was sort of hopped around a little bit with faculty positions in Oklahoma and Missouri. I'm originally from the Southwest, but have been fortunate to always have had my hand in chamber music one way or another, and still do a lot of mixed chamber music and recital playing whenever I can. But the quartet has been my family for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Lisa? I think you're next in line in terms of tenure.
Well, I'm actually the newest member of the quartet, I'm happy to give my story if you'd like. Let's see. I joined the quartet in 2013 and probably came from sort of different circumstances than the other members. I'd spent a long time with a sort of varied orchestral career and always had chamber music as part of my existence, but it was often with friends and really for fun, and I would, you know, perform a concert and then, you know, make another group and do a different concert, that kind of thing. And when I heard that the Seraphim Quartet had an opening in violin, it just seemed like, wow, this is something that I could do as a serious endeavor, sort of in a long-term way. And that was really great, just because for me, I think, you know, quartet playing has always been sort of on that top level of what you could do expressively with music. So I heard there was an audition that was going to happen, and that ended up being somewhat drawn out, I guess, over several months. I remember, you know, getting the repertoire that we'd perform, and this was a list of at least 6 different quartets, movements from at least 6 or 8 quartets, something like that. And we set a date, and, you know, I spent a couple months preparing, and we got together, and we spent about 5 hours reading music one day. And it was sort of varying levels of, you know, getting together to get to know each other as musicians. I knew a couple members. I knew Kate peripherally and Larry a bit. I hadn't met Esme before. But we spent several hours sort of playing through some music. And then we kind of got a little more serious and started actually doing rehearsal. And then, you know, that day ended. It was a great day. Ended up having, we decided we would have a concert as sort of a trial concert. And it worked out. And here I am 3 years later. And it's kind of been a magnificent trip. And it's kind of fun, actually, because I think we're going to talk about a concert we have coming up, but one of my audition pieces that I brought to the table was the Shostakovich Third Quartet, which now we're bringing to New York with us in our upcoming concert.
Esme, a little bit about you.
Hi, well, I am like Larry. I moved to Delaware for a University of Delaware professorship position, and actually Larry was the first person I met in Delaware, or I should say smiling away at the Philadelphia airport. I was in Ohio when actually trying to sort of resuscitate a college string quartet. I was doing a, I don't know what you'd call it, reunion concert with three other friends from my college days. And I got this email saying, would you like to audition for the University of Delaware viola position? And so, yeah, I count myself very lucky to have been able to take advantage of that opportunity. I hopped on a plane. I came to Delaware for that purpose and actually had a gig with the Serafin Quartet before I even started working at UD because their violist at the time couldn't play a certain concert, and I guess it was just sort of natural. Well, okay, you know, Esme's the new local violist. Let's give her a call. And it's such a small musical community. Their violist at the time is actually an old friend of mine. We had the same teacher at Juilliard, and I think he was the one who mentioned my name originally to, you know, enter me into the pool of candidates they were considering for both the UD position and the Serafin position. But I like to say I had the most relaxed Serafin audition experience possible because I didn't really know it was occurring. They just kept inviting me to play concerts, and so they just got to see how I work, and I got to see how they work, and we played concerts, and I didn't really know that they were looking for someone. So I just got to enjoy playing concerts with this wonderful group. And then one day they called me and said, well, how would you like to join the group? And I said, definitely.
Great. So. Well, go ahead, Kate.
I just wanted to say a word about, quartet process, because you hear these different stories about how each person became aware of an opening and how the group transformed. But some of the transformations in a 15-year period for an organization are because of circumstance, like, you know, in our case, a dramatic death of our original violist suddenly threw the group into the need to respond to that at a time when we were kind of reeling just from the experience of the loss. So that initiated a chain of changes in the viola seat, and each one of the people that we worked with we truly enjoyed. But the fit of a quartet and quartet life is just a complex thing. So we were very delighted when we had this opportunity to get to know Esme over quite a long period of time while we still had a temporary violist who we knew was not going to stay forever in the group, but had agreed to stay for a couple of years.
But you kept that secret well.
The process when Lisa joined the group was really organized. It was a national search. We had plenty of lead time. But anyway, the thing I want to say about it to encapsulate the thought is to do anything well and for anything to grow and develop, you have to stick with it. And so for a quartet, we're forming one organism out of four individuals. And so the longer we can have a compatible, really effective working relationship with the four, quote, right people, that's the path to becoming truly excellent.
Great. Well, we've heard now about each of you, and I love your concept of the organism, that it really is a single unit that has to come together and grow. And I want to pursue that, but first remind our listeners that you're tuned into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV with Delaware State of the Arts. Our guests today are the representatives of the Serafin String Quartet, Kate Ransom, Esme, I'm drawing blanks here, sorry, Esme Allen Creighton, Larry Stomberg, and Lisa Vaupel. I've been off the air too long. It's great having you here. Just amazing backgrounds, and I read a little bit about your bios. I mean, the training that you've all gotten is indicative of just the finest in professional training. I noted that all of your instruments are like two or three centuries old. Have you ever thought about upgrading to a new model?
No, we prefer to downgrade. The downer, the better.
No, I mean, it's very impressive. But let's hear a little bit now about how this organism that has come together and is continues to evolve is now planning some public programming. Anyone?
Yeah. I'll take this. We've actually got a really exciting sort of second half of our season coming up this spring. We have probably the most exciting thing for us. It's always fun to travel, and it's especially fun to travel to New York to perform a concert. And in March, on the 14th of March, a Monday evening, we're playing at Weill Recital Hall, which is the recital hall in Carnegie Hall, for a program that's featuring the Third Shostakovich String Quartet that Lisa mentioned earlier, as well as the big orchestral Grieg String Quartet. And we're giving, this is very exciting, we're giving New York premieres of two works by a very young composer, Julia Adolph, a young American composer who was a classmate of Esme's at Juilliard and now lives in Los Angeles. And so we're excited to do that and bring new things to New York, which is an event whenever that happens. We also have some concerts leading up to that more locally on the 16th of February, I think it is. Or is it the 15th? The 16th. We're playing at the University of Delaware. And that is a program that's featuring much of the same music, although instead of the Grieg Quartet, we'll be playing the Borodin Second String Quartet. Beautiful, wonderful, romantic work. And that's at Gore Recital Hall at UD, which is one of our favorite spaces. And we're the resident string quartet at UD, so it's home for us. And then I believe it's the next night we're playing those Julia Adolph works at the Music School of Delaware in Wilmington as part of an exciting program of all women composers.
Can I mention that program? This is Kate. On Wednesday, the 17th of February, it's actually dedicated to the memory of Anthony Simmons, who was the original violist of Seraphim Quartet, and some of the proceeds go to support a scholarship fund that carries his name as well at the school. And he would love the idea that it's an all-women composers concert. Tony would be the champion of everyone achieving whatever they can. And also in that program, there'll be other women composers featured, like Rebecca Clark. I believe Esme might be playing the Clark Sonata with a pianist from our school, Jennifer Campbell. And Jennifer Campbell, who's on our faculty and is an alum of the Music School of Delaware, she's going to play one of her own original works. And also we're going to have Holly Rodefeld, a wonderful pianist, performing some works on that program. So it'll be a very interesting program.
Now, Larry, you mentioned that Seraphim String Quartet is the quartet in residence at the University of Delaware. What comes with that, the perks and the expectations of being a quartet in residence?
I think many quartets, if you asked any string quartet, they would think that a college residency would be a great perk, because you have a home base that way, a place where you can do some concerts and just have an identity and sort of home fans, if you will. So we do have that as part of our residency at UD. We do at least a couple of concerts a year, a couple of formal concerts a year. We try to do some other outreach things on campus. A lot of our duties as the resident quartet center around our work with the students. So we give at least three master classes each semester to student chamber groups that are working. And they'll be in coachings weekly with the faculty, a lot of times with myself or with Esme. And then they get to work with us in a more public master class type of setting. And then they present their own concert each semester. And that's been really just wonderful for us to get to work with them and see their growth as they sort of aspire to just play chamber music at higher and higher levels all the time.
Now, we have a few minutes left, but before I forget, would someone care to share how our listeners can get more information about the Seraphim String Quartet?
Okay, sure. The best way is our website, which is seraphimquartet.org. So that's Seraphim Quartet.org. And there's a lot of information about us. There's actually even some sound recordings that people could listen to if they'd like.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you have at least one CD, do you not, that's available?
We've actually done two commercial recordings. The most recent was the early chamber works of Jennifer Higdon. Those were world premiere recordings, and that's on the Naxos label. And our debut disc was on the Centaur label, and we released that, I believe, in 2010.
We have about 2 minutes left, and maybe this is an unfair question to ask late in the in this time period, but I'm curious, as a quartet, Kate, you talked about the notion of being a single organism, but at the same time, as a quartet, you're in a way soloists. I mean, you're the only musician on your particular part, unlike a symphony orchestra where there are going to be more than, you know, one musician on a particular part. Could you, I'd love to hear just a little bit, again, briefly, about that balance between being the soloist, being that exposed musician on the part, but also being the, you know, part of that organism that has to be listening to each other.
Well, I'd say in the quartet, it's, you feel like you have your own voice and you're representing yourself, but you're always reaching out to the other players, whether it's one, you know, two or three at a time, for that conversation that you can draw the other members into. And so that's what makes it, I guess, a living, breathing organism. It's always changing, because as a soloist, you might play something and nobody else is there to respond to what you do. But in a quartet, the voices are continually changing. I don't know what Esme's going to say to me in the moment when we play this duet that we've, you know, rehearsed many a time, but she might, you know, decide to take a new twist, and then I get to respond to that in the moment. And so that's what's particularly interesting, I think, about playing works that are hundreds of years old, but always giving it that fresh perspective based on what, you know, we're each saying in the moment.
Yeah, or Lisa might, you know, I might have a muscle spasm that Lisa interprets artistically, and then, you know, it triggers a chain of artistic events that are totally unexpected. I'm joking a little bit, but there is a lot of spontaneity, as there would be in any kind of conversation. Yes, we're playing music that was written before, but I would liken the experience to, I don't know, say you prepare talking to someone and you know what you're going to say, but you're not sure exactly how you say it. And then that conversation comes alive.
Which is what makes it the live music so exciting. Seraphim String Quartet, thanks so much for joining us today, Esme, Larry, Lisa, and Kate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.